The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't.
Sorry about that, folks. Had a long intro there. Had another one of our pieces of equipment decided to want to give up the ghost. Did you notice? I don't have my caller screen up. PJ. PJ from Jolly Old. How you doing?
Good evening. How are you? Very good, very good. I won't go into the, I've been AWOL regarding contacting you, but I have done my first probe the other day. But no, just backing up what you've been saying there, these are very hot issues with me about climate change and the IPCC, which is based here in England. They were caught red-handed 2 years ago, totally falsifying the data by Richard North and Christopher Booker. Now, Christopher Booker is one of the top journalists in Britain, and he and North are key people in getting the referendum won with Farage, right? But Christopher Booker wrote a book. I just want to mention it to people. The real global warming disaster is the obsession with climate change, and he blows it to bits. And that's the title of the book, Christopher Booker, The Real Global Warming Disaster. And everything you're referring to is in that book, and it's very, very good. Just to add that to it.
Well, PJ, what's amazing to me is here's this guy, you know, that files a lawsuit against the individual, and he's gotten more traction and done more damage to these climate change loonies than anybody else has done. You know, and people, PJ, are actually starting to believe this, that you repeat the lie often enough, and people will have a tendency to think, well, there might be truth to it, where there's smoke, there's fire. So here's this guy in this court up here in Canada the challenges of the thing, and it looks like it might put a real dent. Now, they're not going to widely report this, but this is going to send ripples through the scientific community as to, you know what, quit using science as a shield. You know, forget your government grants and all that other stuff. It's not going to work anymore.
Yeah. I've been knocking hell out of scientists on my program in as much as trailing it by saying, look, most of these scientists should have a sponsorship decal on their backs, like footballers, because once they are doing research, they've signed a disclosure agreement, either to say nothing, to tell lies, or to put out disinformation. Mm-hmm. There's only three options here. Mm-hmm. So 80% of scientists are paid liars anyway. That's the sad fact. To get an independent scientist, he has to fight a battle within his own peers, you know, to get publicity. And it's just like the campaign by CNN on the Russian thing with Trump. If you say it often enough, people will believe it. But the G20 today, again, BBC giving begrudging coverage. It's a major event, this G20, when it's happening. But Putin and Trump met for 2.5 hours. That's not widely reported. Do they report that in the States as that?
I'm sorry. I'm giving direction here to the board up to go shut my windows. We're finally going to get some much-needed rain down here in Texas. It must be the climate change. I don't know. You know, PJ, I'm glad to hear that you're back on air and you've finally. You know, I have never heard of such difficulty moving from one place to another. And I'm sorry, is England and everything over there, is it still in last century? Because
no, I have to tell you off air the reasons for that. There's a lot of problems.
Politicking, maybe?
No. It's incompetent people and a security situation. Very serious. Very, very serious. But I'll tell you off air about that.
Well, you can't leave me hanging in the audience like that. If you're going to mention that, is there some sort of...
I've moved location, that's all. Are you talking about moving times on air or moving location?
No. I'm not talking about times on air. I'm just talking about you doing a simple move to get the damn internet hooked up.
Oh, that takes 3 weeks, yeah. I'm looking out my window here. It's dark here now. It's 1 o'clock. But I've got a lamppost leaning to the left. It looks like Kansas City in the 1850s when the telegraph arrived. And there's 20 lines coming off. One of them is mine. Hooray. And it's covered in dirt and crap and bird shit. That's what I'm talking to you now on that line. And I've got the internet. It's working pretty well. I've got 21 megabytes a second.
Wow.
That's the big time here, by the way. That's the big time. Ooh. And I've had a raging row with the utility. I'm with a good company called Zen. They are a very good company. They're new, and they're run by a good bloke. But they they're depending on BT to recognize my postcode. I didn't know that was a factor, and they couldn't recognize my postcode, which is legit and has been around for 30 years.
So wait a minute. Slow down here. So since they couldn't match the postcode to where you moved, there was suspect that you applying for internet that caused a problem?
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, they couldn't get the go-ahead to install it. I was given a two-week in connection time, was very fast, and then came up ready to go, bang, 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 and said, Open Reach, that's the name. They have 20,000 vans in the UK, 20,000, trying to catch up with the servers on the broadband. That's a joke.
PJ, I've been real hard on a guy that subbed for me Monday. I didn't want to cover the subject matter because he had it all lined up and in depth. So Steve Elkins filled in for me, and
yeah,
you know, Steve is moving down to God's waiting room with his family. It's called Florida here, but you know, as I keep listening to your horror stories over there, you lived in the United States, you lived in Canada.
Sure.
Why the hell are you still over there?
Well, the wheels came off the wagon here. That's over here.
the wagon broke down, so that's where you got to stay. Okay.
money. But my ideal place to live would be Montana. I've only been in five American states. Colorado, I lived in. I've got very dear friends there. They're all German and Scandinavian Americans. They're the backbone of the Rocky Mountain states. Excellent people. I talk to them regularly. But they can't believe the carry on that I have with this move of mine. I had to do it in a small vehicle, and I'll tell you another time why it was such a difficult thing. But the electronics, BT, British Telecom, controls the line still. They're supposed to have given them up to 12 suppliers, but they're still dependent on them, and I had to screw up over a postcode. And they didn't recognize it. Then they were wrong. I was right. But you should be with me. I lay into these people big time. I work for multinationals. I work for Unilever, Pirelli, Roche. I know how to intimidate multinationals, believe me, and I have form doing it. So I'm going to get myself a rebate. It's coming to me soon. But that was a round and a half, I tell you. But that's just the way it is here. But
so
there is. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so are you happy with your time change?
Oh, yeah. And I'm building up slowly, but I will fill in, pack it in tight with stuff. I did a kind of a dog's dinner program last week, but we're building up this first hour on that, dealing with people who have depression on that, and I'm starting with, I hope it's Jenna, she's listening in Washington. She has knows of some young person with difficult problems. We'll be dealing with that tomorrow, and also Brian, her partner, who's an eco-farmer, who's been attacked by the government on every level. We'll deal with that. And a few things of that, but I'll have plenty of time to organize that tomorrow.
All right.
A 12-hour run on a Saturday. My time is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., which suits me fine, 9 to 12 midnight.
You know, and you wanted
that
time.
Seems strange to you.
Yeah, well, it is strange.
Dr. Betty says lie in it.
well, you know, you asked for it, so now you got it.
Yeah, I'm delighted. And by the way, I'm internally grateful to Foreign Show. I know we had a problem contacting him, but to get to know him, he's a hell of a nice guy. And I didn't twist his arm at all. I just mentioned it, and then he rang me back a week or two ago and says, I was just thinking what you said. And he said, that would suit me fine, go back to my own time. And you had a guy ring into your program that night, and I thought it was a setup. And, you know, he's a genuine listener. I heard him on his program the other day.
Right.
But I give him an announcement top and bottom of the hour that he's moved, and I'll do that for a month, because he has a lot more listeners than I have.
Well, and that's the only complaint that I registered, was that one guy that called into my show that didn't like the move. And he wanted to know if I was responsible for it.
No, I thought it was a setup. I'm very suspicious. Yeah. Very suspicious, like, considering who have attacked me, et cetera, et cetera. But, no, just to talk to you on a few things there, not to interrupt your program, but again, as people are phoning, I wasn't going to phone in. The G20, that wasn't covered properly at all anywhere. And as I said, Putin and Trump had two meetings today, and it was total 2.5 hours, and Tillerson and Lavrov were present, so there can be no follow-up over that meeting.
Well, do you believe, PJ, that the first thing out of Trump's mouth to Putin was that, you know, you've got to stop screwing with American elections?
That's not true, because Rex Tillerson made a clarifying point in an interview, which I did see afterwards, and got carried on ITN. He said, regarding all that, we agreed to move on. That's what Tillerson said.
Wow.
So they're misreporting the meeting, something shocking. And I had to dig deep to find all this information. Like you, that should be bang right over the BBC. And I would imagine Hannity covered it probably correctly. Hannity is rooting.
Well, and PJ, and here's the deal. You know, good, bad, or indifferent, people may not like the reporting, or they may not like the facts that they find on either side. And now we're down to the warring parties, the tribal feudalism here of the serfs fighting the other serfs. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, you know, if there was just some rudimentary, honest reporting, we wouldn't have half the clashes, political and otherwise, that we have right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Not only is the life deteriorating, and as you say, I've lived in all three countries, and I would not like to live in America today. I just would not. I wouldn't. But the police state that they're building, and the attack on local authority laws, and children selling lemonade, being arrested and not having a license, and 1,001 things that you've covered. To roll it back, I don't know how it's going to be done short of a revolution. It can't be done. It just cannot. There's no velvet revolution is going to do this. It's impossible. And it's suffocating.
Well, we're trying to avoid that. And I don't know if forestalling it is the proper thing to do, because I've always said that we need as much time as humanly possible. Because who in the hell is one going to listen to anything when they're jobless, they're homeless, bullets are flying, people are going to jail, bodies are falling down and dead in the streets? I mean, are people going to really be interested in sitting down, ascertaining facts on a particular subject, and what are they going to do? Share it at the campfire with everybody outfitted with backpacks and rifles? I mean, this to me, the whole scenario is maddening, but it's maddening that we have people that know better in position that they need to come out of the shadows and stand in the light right now and say, you know what, enough of this. Enough.
Oh, yeah, indeed. They only have the power that we have inadvertently given them, as somebody rightly said. That is what has happened, but it hasn't happened on a million times over.
Look what's at stake. Perpetual war for no peace. Corporations saddled up next to government to mandate and dictate and make the new policy. Forget your sovereignty. You know, well, you've been right on ground zero over there with a backlash over Brexit. How's the Brexit overall for England working for the Englanders?
It is a disaster, because Theresa May has destroyed herself by calling this unnecessary election. She thought she was going to screw the Labour Party. She didn't realize there was 5 or 6 major issues on the ground going to hammer her. And the polling was all wrong. The polls have lost their marbles because they're doing internet polling and phone polling, which is crap. The rejection rate on phone polling, this is fact in America and Britain, is 80%.
No, that's not what, PG, that's not what I was after. What I was asking you was the overall England leaving the European Union on this Brexit, is it been positive for England?
Oh, yeah, the economy on 10 out of about 18 out of 20 levels has improved. But the public are still vulnerable to crises, and Theresa May has caused a crisis. She's weakened Britain's negotiating position massively by losing her majority in Parliament. She has the 10 Ulster unions supporting her. She gets a majority of 7, which is tiny.
Well, okay, slow down. PJ, you got to slow down. You talk fast. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm after. In spite of the polls, in spite of what the people were told in England, when this Brexit vote came up, it has often been described, and what we hear in the United States, it's the little people that made the decision to leave the European Union. Okay, it wasn't
Right.
the people in Parliament. There was a vote. People spoke up. They tried to minimize it. They tried to fix it. It was not successful. Now, in the aftermath of this, there's proof of the pudding on the table that, in fact, leaving the European Union has been good. Wait a minute, can I use the term? It's been a healthy move to leave the European Union. I mean,
hold on, we haven't left. This is 2 years from now we leave.
Okay.
But to answer your question, I know the question you're asking, both questions, two-part question. What is the economic effect of having made the decision? Very positive overall, very positive. But Britain's negotiating position has been drastically weakened by Theresa May calling this stupid election she did. Now, we have a problem here.
Stop. Now, a better understanding. Why did she call for that election?
She took over from Cameron. He resigned. She took over. There wasn't a general election. She just took over. That's fine. And there's a peculiar thing in Britain. The Prime Minister is not elected by the Parliament. You just stand up and you go to the Queen and you say, I can form a government, and you go to Parliament. And you form your government and you take up position on the front benches. But anyway, she had 3 years to run, having taken over the term of government. There was 2 years gone with Cameron, she had three to go. And she didn't have to call an election. We had, just to complicate the thing, we had a first time ever fixed term problem for 5 years under the last government. Now they voted that out overnight and she pulled an election. She also did two stupid moves. She was due to reform the constituencies, review the constituencies this year, which would have given the Conservatives an advantage. She didn't do that. She pulled it too soon, and she pulled a 7-week election campaign, which is ridiculous. I've run campaigns. If you're ahead in the polls of the Green government, you need a short campaign, because, you know, stuff happens and can wipe you out. And it did happen in this election, and she lost an 18-seat majority down to -8. But she has now the Ulster Unionists, who are in the Parliament, Northern Ireland, supporting her. That gives her a majority of about 7. But she's a laughingstock of Europe over it now, and it's weakened Britain badly. That's the answer.
Well, what do you think? Is it still within the hearts and the guts of the people in England? Is there a breaking point, where they have finally had it with politics as being played out, the control that they obviously see? You want to talk about a revolution. You guys are a decade ahead of us in the socialist game. You got your national health care and you got your guns gone. We don't have either at that point. But our weapons are still at the ready. Our Affordable Care Act, as we call it here in this country, that hasn't happened, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. So, you know, you guys are years ahead of us over there, and I'm trying to get a sense, because I'm not walking the streets, and I'm not talking to the people over there. I'm not listening to the conversations. I'm just trying to get a handle on at which point do the people in England go, you know what, we've had enough of this crap.
Well, part one was leaving the European Union. That was a big one, because we're going to be totally screwed by already absorbed 60,000 laws from the European Union, and it was suffocating business here, and it was just, you know, we're leaving it. And if it was to vote, it was taken today, it would be like 60-40, I think. But
Wait a minute. 60-40 in
favor? Favor of leaving.
Okay,
favor,
all right.
Favor of leaving.
Okay.
The only bare knuckle paper we have here is the Daily Mail, and they're not afraid of anyone. The Telegraph's supposed to be a conservative paper, but they haven't got the guts of a lass, you know.
Well, isn't that kind of conservatism over there kind of like our Fox News over here?
Oh yeah, to a degree. Although current affairs here are still pretty good. I mean, even within the BBC monopoly, they're pretty good, and BBC Radio 4, it's pretty good. But phase one, we leave the European Union, which is going to collapse anyway, with the four countries.
Okay, hold on one second, PJ. I know it's late over there, but hang on a second. Let me carry you through the break. Hold on.
Folks, Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John, Big John.
Have they ever done a song on Big Bad PJ?
I just wondered, would your board up play that especially for you? But to answer, every question begs a three-part answer the way life is today, and if I'm not overdoing it. The burning issue of the day here, apart from Brexit and all those, is people's earnings are 7 or 8 years behind where they should be because of austerity. And they've got the cabinet, Theresa May's own cabinet, split in three ways, talking about Brexit and talking about we should abandon the pay policy. So all that's going on here as well.
Well, you know, you heard my comments about... And you've got your progressive movement over there in England. You've got your subset of subhumans over there that are as deep as a bumper sticker. You know, and what's amazing to me is how this stuff is it's constantly propped up. Truth doesn't matter. No real discussion. No point counterpoint. At least in this country years ago, on salient issues, they would sometimes allow PJ a point counterpoint where people could listen to both sides of a story and make up their mind as to what was BS and what was the truth. We don't even have that anymore. What our Fox News has turned into is a consortium of their little talking heads debating a point between themselves.
Well, you get an element of that. But current affairs here are much better, I have to say. But one thing Lark in Texas could do, and this is the next point is relevant to him, he should study what's happened here with the Labour Party and its leader, Jeremy Corbyn, and socialism and communitarianism. We're not using the word communitarianism, but the young generation have cottoned on to, like, 300,000 members joined the Labour Party. That's massive. And they swung this election into a problem for Theresa May, which she didn't take seriously. And they have cottoned on to the word socialism, and they think it's a new generation, 18, 20-year-olds, 24, they think it's the answer to everything. And so we have a new delusional, very young generation here.
Well, don't worry, we've got our own over here. Only we did this by way of destroying the family, putting social issues up, not doing the proper education that we used to do in our schools. I can understand and see why the millennials, now we're calling them, in this country are just absolutely, I mean, I hate to say this, in a the NAACP used to have a phrase that said, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Well, a life is a terrible thing to waste, in absolute vacuum and delusion.
Sure. Well, disinformation, that's what the electronic media is, a big, big thing for most people. You and I can quote, but it's an older generation, but they think they're well informed. They're misinformed. It's hard to get that across, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, at any rate, your new time?
9 p.m. to midnight, Saturday night, 9 to midnight, the Barton Report, and it, I'll guarantee you it will improve from now on.
All right, well,
and
I'm going to tell on you, PJ, the first conversation I ever had with you was that you'd like to do the evening, and I said, that's not possible. I have somebody else in there. And you two took it upon yourselves to discuss the issue with each other, and yeah, I got no problem with trading times, and I'm glad. But I kept reminding dear PJ here that I just can't, because some other new host wants a time slot, I'm not going to go in there and rip it out from under them. But PJ was persistent. And how long have you been doing a show now on the network, PJ?
November 15th, I think we did it after much of the crisis. I had that mega crisis.
I'm sorry, my math is not working in my brain. How long have you been on?
19 months now.
Wow. So you have...
I have done all of 160 hours, but again, you're 12,000 hours. You're slightly ahead of me, yeah.
So I made you wait a year and a half, and I did not yield.
No. I don't take it as John Stoughton made me wait. No, that was an unreasonable request. No. There's plenty of things I agree and disagree with you. But I'm putting in a call now. The road is clear to yourself later in the week and to Mike Herzog and on what we were dealing with on the pledge drive. A few ideas on that, and I'll run them past you over the weekend.
Speaking of which, and you were instrumental in contacting the host directly to tell him what we were doing. Mm-hmm. In this pledge drive that we put together, started on, May 1st, May Day, that's right.
Yeah.
And so far we have $26,016.13.
Spent.
So we have a ways to go here.
The balance is zero, folks. Yeah, the balance is zero. But there you are.
All righty, PJ.
Okay, and I will be publishing within 4 weeks as well. Anyway, okay.
Sounds good. Thank you very much,
and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, PJ. PJ Barton, folks, on the network here on Saturday nights, 9 to midnight Central Standard Time. Let's take the break. And, you know, I know Obama's no longer president, but let's do a little review of what great things that he did when he was in office.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Nutramedicals Power C Plus is the greatest important breakthrough in vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world as a calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium ascorbate salt with bioperin, a black pepper extract, to increase absorption by 40%. When you take Power C Plus, it helps to alkalinize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C Plus also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C Plus is very unique at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy.
Yeah, when we start getting a little crazy here in this country, the right people at the right time getting a little crazy, I think that's when you'll have your restoration of the republic. Mike in Alaska. Hello, Mike.
John, regarding Europe, I think that Trump is doing the right thing and going to the right places. I used to live in Ukraine, and I've been to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people that will fight, that will, as he told them, you know, fight for civilization. And in Western Europe, you know, I lived in Germany as well. I speak fluent German, and I wish they were acting a bit differently. I saw Moody Merkel in a speech about 10 years ago, and I could tell, standing at a distance, that, you know, she's a communist, she's a bad person, she's going to do a lot of harm to this country. It's not my country, but I don't wish them any harm.
Mm-hmm.
But those people have to figure this out for themselves. and we can want them to do well and close those borders and get their heads screwed on straight, but we got to work with people who want civilization to continue and stop trying to, you know, wake these people up until they're ready. They have to suffer a bit first, is what I'm thinking.
Well, they're, Mike, the suffrage thing, okay. So how much more can be taken away from them? Their future is pretty well shot. They don't have a clear indication yet of this governance clan that they have put together that is run by a bunch of out-of-sight, unnamed bureaucrats. Are they not yet getting the idea that the right choices have not been made?
Not all of them are, and this is why I say that, John. The Texas Germans and the Germans living in Germany now, they went, that's two divergent forks in the road. And you can really see this when you go over there, and I read their newspapers and things like that. That is the most rule-bound, perhaps other than the Japanese, rule-bound, regulated group of people in the world. And so they are the biggest group that wants to submit to authority, to someone with a badge. That's their mindset. Now, that's not the Texas mindset, and it's not the Texas German mindset, but I'm just reporting what I see on the ground, John.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know what has to take place for them to wake up, because it used to be. And did you say, I'm sorry, I missed the German part. You said you speak German, but are you German?
Yes. I have a grandmother, German grandmother.
Okay, so.
My background, my genome is mainly Irish, and I'll tell you, John, the Irish are almost worse off in some of the ways they think about things. So I don't take any pleasure in saying that and reporting that to you.
Well, a lot of people, it doesn't matter the lineage. I mean, our brains basically work the same, all human inhabitants on this planet. We're all fundamentally put together the same way, and we function pretty much the same way. The only problem that I see is that people are willing to eat the capitalist with a hit sandwich and say that it's good. I just don't get it anymore, that the cognitive, reasonable thinking people have been either scared into submission or they want to be subservient to the state that they recognize is not making the right decisions. Ergo, I would make the statement that the state is trying to destroy their culture and their society and their country. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, what is it going to take?
John, I think it's an effect of wealth. These people can be the most productive and limited government type folks in different circumstances, but as civilization goes through a cycle and we get to where we've never had anyone give us a knuckle sandwich or had any hard times or any we've always been fed three times a day every day.
Now let me just take this, Mike. Okay, so we've had the horn of plenty over here, and I don't know if people have actually seen this, that somebody sat down and thoughtfully did the Horn of Plenty deal, that we started this country out. We had next to nothing. And then we went through the cycle and we built wealth and we built an entire country. And then it starts to disintegrate and we're almost right back at the point where we started. But, you know, having said that, the people in this country, Mike, you're up in Alaska. You're not in a foreign land. You're just separated by the foreigners up there in Canada. Sorry, my Canadian friends. But you saw the reaction. There's a reason why the Affordable Health Care Act, and I'm going to get into this here in a couple of minutes to a degree or less, but gun control in this country, absolutely not. They've been trying this for 30, 40 years. They have not been successful. The Affordable Care Act, this thing was passed. It wasn't even constitutionally passed the way they did it, and people said, no, we don't want that. And the majority of the voices that I hear on this is going, okay, you know, let's go back to the free market. Government, get the hell out of the healthcare. The point being that two of those things that I just mentioned, the American people, by and large, said no. As a matter of fact, they said it louder than that, Mike. They said hell no. So, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, we've had our problems here in this country with crooked people, people that don't understand the founding documents or how this government's supposed to function. But there's still enough of us left here that recognize when the state is doing harm to us. So you're telling me that the people, and the hardest, and I was over in Germany, you know, and I'll tell you what, folks, it's a different mindset over there. The German people themselves, they're very hard workers, very hard partiers too. I've gone to their Oktoberfest. I've drank with the Germans, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 of them sitting under a tent, getting roaring drunk, drinking schnapps and 12% beer. And not even a fist fight. They love to work. They love to party. They like to have a good time. They love life. They're smart people. I mean, we don't have to go too far back in history here to realize that the United States, in order to get a leg up here technologically, after World War II, we had to steal half the scientists that they had. And the Russians got the other half. Maybe we got the better ones. I don't know. But they've always been a hard-working, industrious, and very smart people. What the hell has happened? I don't get it.
John, you may not like to hear that. I was in Heidelberg, and there's a couple big bases there. And I have a theory, and I think that our presence there and a lot of this Voice of America, the military bases, you're going on a field trip today. We're going to show you all these places where you did very, very bad things and you're bad people. It's repetition is a form of mind control.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And so what I'm saying, John, is that we're in a place now where we're thinking about, okay, if they take that route, we give them we acknowledge their free will. And I'm just reporting to you, I think they're going to do some really crazy things. It's going to get worse. But then we say we have to protect ourselves. So visa-free travel, these kind of things. Hey, you know, if Ahmed is coming over on a German passport, no one's coming over. You know, if it gets to the point where every other person is one of these people that has a high chance of going crazy on you in the Home Depot, then we're not going to have much travel between the two places. So we're saying that, but on the other hand, we went in there to change their mindset. And we went in there to change what you're describing.
Okay, now let me stop, Mike. Let me stop you right there, because I want to get your take on this. Because the German people, we had the Berlin Wall, and we had that for a number of years. When was that thrown? 1947, 1948. There were enough successive generations that were East Germany that were propagandized and Russianized, communized, if you will, on that side of the wall. Well, the wall fell down, and Germany is once again reunited, but with a different subset of German that I don't know if anybody over there really recognized them. They absorbed that. They took that. Now they're letting their little chancellor, the communist that she is, bring in all of these people from foreign lands to screw up even further in a weak economy, to screw up their culture and their society even more. This is what I'm saying. I mean, unless the German people, unless they've come up with something better than fluoride to kill off their brain cells, I just don't get it.
John, the surprising, I've got family on both sides of the wall and been to both sides. The crazy thing is, the East ones, Merkel aside, are the ones resisting more than the West Germans.
Really?
Now, the Bavarians are the Texas of Germany, so they're their own little breed, and they're skeptical, and you know, they're not going along with it. But the West Germans, I'm talking Frankfurt, I'm talking where I was in Heidelberg, I'm talking Cologne, they're more likely to just not say anything than if you're in Leipzig or Chemnitz or any, you know, East Berlin area. And I think it's just because of what they went through. I think it was harder and tougher. And the same with Eastern Europe. Look at Eastern Europe. There was an Iron Curtain. And the only people, we're talking continental now, that are really coming out and saying, get lost, take a hike, get wrecked, is Poland, Czech Republic, Hungary, Russia. So that whatever happened with communism, which was terrible, prepped them to kind of say, you know, you took everything we had, but you didn't take the people away. what they're playing for the end game with the demographics, with moving new people in. That's end game stuff, because you never get what you had back.
Right.
When you just replace everybody there. Ask a Native American. You know, we're moving in here. How could I convince a Native American that, you know, immigration helped them? And then they live on a reservation, which is segregated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we did resist the gun stuff and the healthcare stuff, but we didn't resist the who can come in and who can go out and who can become an American. What is an American, John? You know?
Yeah.
So,
wow.
That's all I've got.
Mike, I appreciate your call. I thank you very much.
I know.
All right, sir. It's been 45 years since I've been in Germany. And I'll tell you what, that was the first foreign land that I ever visited. And it was, in some regards, strange, in some regards, familiar. But the one thing that I walked away from is just the absolute tenacity of the human nature of the German. And I guess it's changed in 45 years, because when I was there, they were still proud. They were very hardworking. They were friendly, you know, especially to each other. They did, at that time, I will admit, Mike, if you're still listening, that the Polizei over there, they had the attitude that most cops now have here in this country. But it was done sternly, and I guess you could say fairly fair. But it was still those people over there. Oh, it was just, you know, don't mess with the Polizei. Don't mess with the Polizei. Well, the police, and I don't care what country it is, the police are only as good or bad as the people allow them to be. So I don't, maybe I need to take another trip back to Germany. I don't know. Things have changed that drastically. And I was there when the Berlin Wall was still up. Used to fly missions over the damn thing. Man. Andy in Texas.
Well, hey, John, you know, I'm just amiss at how all these people, I mean, there's millions upon millions of people that have been defrauded by this government, by these corporations and whatnot, you know, the fine print or whatnot, and they've all been, you know, destroyed in some way or shape or form. And I really want to throw this whole thing on the people, because there's millions upon millions of people that have experienced some sort of injustice in some sort of manner and stuff. And that in itself is a clue to anybody that the system is messed up. And yet these people don't take this stuff as clues. They don't figure it out right square off the bat that, hey, wait a minute, whoa. I signed into a contract, and wait a minute, they took my house, and I had, you know, all these different things, provisions and stuff and whatnot. However it might happen, they missed the fine print or whatever. Anytime a country that is presumed free based on our Constitution and the manner in which it was written and stuff, and then they allow themselves to be corporated, if you will, by the corporations and stuff, we got nobody to blame but ourselves. The problem here is that the millions of people that already know they've been screwed somehow, some way, and many of us have spent time in jail for victimless crimes and whatnot and all this stuff, and we still can't figure this out, but there's been millions of these people. And so we should be able to get together, despite the infiltration that might happen with the FBI, despite the infiltration that the CIA or whoever is involved, we should be able to get together, and we should be able to march on these people and take their butts down. Simply because we realize, I mean, all you have to really do to figure this out is read the damn Constitution. As soon as you read the damn Constitution, you've got this thing figured out that, whoa, wait a minute.
Exactly. And that's why it was important not to publicly speak about the Constitution, except when a politician wants to use it as a punchline or a tagline, or the schools in this country not to teach the real intent of why the Constitution was written and the benefit it really is to the people to keep that form of government going. Hey, Andy, I need to cut you off here because I want to get to one more caller and I want to get to the last story here.
Cool. Good, Dan. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it. Steve in right. California. Steve, I would have preferred that you move to Rancho, what? Steve in California? I got it on my screen, buddy, and you put it there. Yeah, well, obviously you didn't delete it. So I don't have Steve. And Andy's now gone. So I cut Andy off. I feel so badly. Now, you should feel bad. You should feel bad for Andy. Andy, give him hell next time you call in. At any rate, I wanted to get around to this because I mentioned this last hour. Old Nikki Haley. Who is this twit? She was an anti-Trumper, and then she becomes UN ambassador? But wait a minute. Maybe it does make some sense. That if the Secretary General of the UN has always been a communist, why not send Nikki Haley there? But the question is, why is Nikki Haley still Trump's UN ambassador? U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley. Eric Bridders wrote this. I went to a meeting the other night with some Donald Trump supporters who, like me, had voted for him based on the expectations of a more rational foreign policy. They were suggesting that the president's attempts to move in that direction had been sabotaged by officials inside the administration who want to maintain the current welfare state. Remove those officials and Trump might just keep his pledge to leave Bashar al-Assad alone while improving relations with Russia. I was somewhat skeptical, noting that the White House had unilaterally initiated the April 7 cruise missile attack on a Syrian airbase, as well as a more recent warning against an alleged planned chemical attack. Hardly moves that might lead to a better relations with Damascus and Moscow, but there are indeed some administration figures who clearly are fomenting endless conflict in the Middle East and elsewhere. Now, one might reasonably start with Generals James Mattis and H.R. McMaster, both of whom are hardliners on Afghanistan and Iran, but with a significant caveat. Generals are trained and indoctrinated to fight and win wars, not to figure out what comes next. General officers like George Marshall, even Dwight Eisenhower, who had a broader vision, are extremely rare. So much so that expecting a Mattis or a McMaster to do what falls outside their purview is perhaps a bit too much. They might be bad choices for the jobs they hold, but at least they employ some kind of rational process based on how they perceive national interests to make their judgments. Now, if properly reined in by thoughtful civilian leadership, which does not exist at the moment, they have the potential to be effective contributors to the national security discussion. But reined in discussion, folks, not this Mad Hatter stuff we're seeing right now. But several other notable figures in administration deserve to be fired if there's to be any hope of turning Trump's foreign policy around. If Arthur Sullivan's and W.S. Gilbert's The Mikado, the Lord High Executioner, sings about the little list he's preparing of people who will never be missed, when he finally gets around to fulfilling the requirements of his office, he includes apologetic statesmen of a compromising kind, indicating that the American frustration with the incompetence of its government is not unique, nor is it a recent phenomenon. My little list of society's offenders consists largely of the self-described gaggle of neoconservative foreign policy experts. And unfortunately, the neocons have proven to be particularly resilient in spite of repeated claims that their end was nigh, most recently after the election of Donald Trump last November. Yet as most of the policies the neocons have historically espoused are indistinguishable from what the White House is currently trying to sell. Now, one might well wake up one morning and imagine that in 2003, and George W. Bush is still president,
Still, hope springs eternal. And now that the United States has celebrated its 241st birthday, and let me add that we only had, 21 years of peace? Only 21 years of that 241 years, folks. We were killing somebody on this planet somewhere for some good reason. Now, it would be nice to think that in a new year, our nation might be purged of some of the malignancies that have prevailed since 9/11. Number one on my little list, Ambassador of the United Nations, Nikki Haley, who is particularly dangerous as she's holding a position where she can really do some bad things. Haley has been shooting from the lip, or from the hip, if you prefer. I prefer lip. Since she assumed office, and it has become clear much of what she says goes without any vetting by the Trump administration. It's never clear whether she's speaking for herself or for the White House. That issue has reportedly been dealt with by having the State Department clear in advance her comments on hot-button issues. But if that's indeed the case, the change has been difficult to discern in practice. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you that the rat's nest has been the State Department in our government, all hell, for more than a half a century. Now, Haley is firmly in the neocon camp, receiving praise from senators like South Carolina's Lindsey Graham and from the Murdoch media, as well as the opinion pages of the National Review, the Weekly Standard. Her speechwriter is Jessica Gavora, who is the wife of the leading neoconservative journalist, Jonah Goldberg. There's another one. Haley sees the United Nations as corrupt and bloated, in itself not an unreasonable conclusion, but she's tied herself closely to a number of other, more debatable issues. As governor of South Carolina, Haley became identified as an unquestioningly supporter of Israel. She signed into law a bill to restrict the activities of the nonviolent pro-Palestinian boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, the first legislation of its kind on state level. Haley was also stated that nowhere has the UN's failure been more consistent and more outrageous than its bias against our close ally Israel. On a recent visit to Israel, she was applauded by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, stating, "You know, I've done all is to tell the truth. And it's kind of overwhelming at the reaction. If there's anything I have no patience for, it's bullies. And the UN was being such a bully to Israel because they could." Man. But Haley sometimes goes far beyond trying to tell the truth. In February, she blocked the appointment of former Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad to a diplomatic position at the United Nations because he's a Palestinian. In a congressional hearing this past week, she was asked about the decision. "It is this administration's position that support for Israel and support for the appointment of the well-qualified individual of Palestinian nationality to an appointment at the UN are mutually exclusive?" Haley responded, "Yes." That the administration is supporting Israel by blocking any Palestinian from any senior UN position because Palestine is not recognized by Washington as an independent state? What do you got to do? Does everybody in Palestine have to die? Oh, yeah, Palestine, a shame what happened to the Palestinian state. Okay, all you Jews, just move into the rest of it and take everything else. All right, there was more to this story. You want to read the rest of it, go to republicbroadcasting.org. Kind of revealing our undying support for Israel. Folks, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back with you Monday with another edition of the National Intel Report. Please support the network. Donate now. We're at 26,000 and some change. We need to get to 34 before the sun sets, the American Republic dies, or something else happens. Donate, folks. Donate today, please.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.